لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقهوا قولي. أما بعد، السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله، ما شاء الله، هو أسفل الفصل وعطوا أسفل جاء again to continue with our studies in this book titled عمدة الأحكام of Al-Hafiz Abdul Ghani Al-Maqdis. Today is the 14th of those Qaida, 1442, which is equivalent to 25th of June 2021. In our last class, we concluded discussions on Kitab al-Salah, that is the book of Salah. So we have discussed virtually all the ahadith under Kitab al-Salah. The last part of that Kitab was Bab al-Janazah. We discussed at length issues concerning funeral prayers and funeral rites generally. Today, inshallah ta'ala, we will move to Kitab al-Zakat, as the chapter on Zakat. Zakat, as we all know, is one of the five pillars of Islam, and it is obligatory upon whoever has the means. Islam has made Zakat obligatory to be collected from the wealth of the rich people and to be given to the poor and other as the needy in the society. It is Islam's way of poverty alleviation among the people. And so it's something that should not be neglected. And it has several rules and regulations which today, unfortunately, a lot of people are ignorant of. So it is a very important chapter that we are going into, inshallah. The first hadith under this chapter is hadith of Abdullah ibn Abbas رضي الله عنهما قال. It says, قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم لمعاذ بن جبل حين بعثه إلى اليمن. Abdullah ibn Abbas narrated that the Prophet, the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم, said to Mu'adh ibn Jabal حين بعثه إلى اليمن, when the Prophet sent him to Yemen. Yemen was a different country or different town at that time. Okay, so the Prophet from Medina sent Mu'adh to Yemen. When Mu'adh was about to leave Medina to go to Yemen, the Prophet said to him, إِنَّكَ بَتَأْتِي قَوْمًا أَهْلَ الْكِتَابِ. You are going to a people among the people of the scripture, Ahlul Kitab, the Jews and the Christians. Meaning, in Yemen, at that time, those that were living in it were mostly Jews and few Christians. So the Prophet said to him, you are going to a people among the people of the scripture. But it's a dictum. So when you go to them, فَدْعُوهُمْ إِلَىٰ أَنْ يَشْهَدُوا أَنْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ وَأَنَّ مُحَمَّدًا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ. Invite them to testify that there is no deity worthy of worship except Allah, and that Muhammad is his messenger. He said, فَإِنْهُمْ أَطَاعُوا لَكَ بِذَلِكَ. If they obey you to do that, they agree to believe in Allah and his messenger, then the next thing is what? فَأَخْبِرْهُمْ أَنَّ اللَّهَ قَدْ فَرَضَ عَلَيْهِمْ خَمْسَ صَلَوَاتٍ فِي كُلِّ لَيْلَةٍ فِي كُلِّ يَوْمٍ وَلَيْلَةٍ. Then inform them that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made obligatory upon them 5 prayers every day and night. 5 daily prayers. He said, فَإِنْهُمْ أَطَاعُوا لَكَ بِذَلِكَ. If they obey you, they agree to do that. فَأَخْبِرْهُمْ. Then inform them again. أَنَّ اللَّهَ قَدْ فَرَضَ عَلَيْهِمْ صَدَقَةً. Inform them that Allah has made obligatory upon them in charity, that is zakat. تُؤْخَذُ مِنْ أَغْنِيَائِهِمْ. this zakat is to be collected, to be taken from the rich ones among them. وَتُرَدُّ عَلَىٰ فُقَرَائِهِ And it is to be given to the poor ones among them. وَإِنْهُمْ أَطَاعُوا لَكَ بِذَلِكَ If they obey you, they agree to do that. فَإِيَّاكَ وَكَرَائِمَ أَمْوَالِكَ So that I warn you, avoid the most precious, the most expensive of their wealth. Meaning whatever you are going to take from the zakat of their wealth, don't take the most expensive or the most precious of their wealth. He now said, وَاتَّقِ دَعْوَةَ الْمَظْلُومِ So he said, you should beware, you fear the invocation, the supplication of the oppressed. Somebody that has been treated unjustly. Fear his supplication. وَإِنَّهُ لَيْسَ بَيْنَهَا وَبَيْنَ اللَّهِ شِدَابٌ Because there is no barrier between his supplication and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When he supplicates, his supplication goes directly to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This hadith contains so many rules and regulations. The first is that through the time of the Prophet, before he used to send his companions to several towns that were surrounding Medina, towns that have already been conquered by Islam. So one of such towns was Yemen. When the Prophet sent Mu'adh to that place, he sent him there as a teacher to teach the people there Islam. And also as a judge, okay, to judge between them in their district. And as a preacher who will invite them to Islam. That's one. Secondly, as a leader, when you are sending a delegation to a place, it is good to inform the delegation of the condition of the people they are going to meet, so that they will prepare and know how to relate with such people. That was what the Prophet told him, that you are going to meet a people among the people of the scripture, Qur'an and Kitab. So you should know how you are going to do da'wah to them. Because when you are doing da'wah to somebody who doesn't believe in God, an idol worshipper, the methodology of preaching to such a person is quite different from the methodology of preaching to somebody who believes in God, like the Jews and the Christians. Do you understand? So the approach to addressing them is not the same. Okay? And if you misplace the approach, you will not get the desired results. And that's why before he left, he told him that, okay, the set of people you are going to meet now are not the idol worshippers, those who bow down before idols. So, these are people who also have goods that have been revealed to them by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. These are people who have prophets that have been sent to them. Okay? So, you need to understand how you are going to approach them in your doubt. Three, the Prophet made it very clear in this hadith that when you are doing da'wah to any non-Muslim, then the first thing that you need to invite him to is tawheed. That's what the Prophet said to him. Let the first thing, in some of the narration of this hadith, he said, let the first thing that you call them to should be that it is testified that there is no deity worthy of worship except Allah, and that Muhammad is the messenger. This is the key to Islam. Any other thing that anybody wants to do, it will not be accepted without kalimat al-shahada. Okay? So that is the most important thing in Islam. And that is the most important thing that we will guard against our tawheed. It is more important than anything in the life of a Muslim. And it is the most important thing that we will invite non-Muslims to. Then, next, the hadith made it very clear that apart from kalimat al-shahada, of the five pillars of Islam, the most important is kalimat al-shahada, followed by as-salat. And that's what the Prophet said, if they agree to accept Islam, they agree to take kalimat al-shahada, then the next thing you invite them to his word is that they should know that Allah has made obligatory upon them five daily prayers. And this hadith also shows very clearly that of all the salawat, the obligatory salat in Islam are the five daily prayers. No other prayer in Islam is obligatory. Other prayers can only be said to be emphatic sunnah of the Prophet. Alright? But the only the five daily prayers are obligatory upon a Muslim. Then the next in line is the zakat. Because if they agree to pray, then the next thing they need to know about Islam is that there is an obligatory charity on the rich ones among them. This charity is not for the Prophet. Because the Prophet wants to collect this money, and that's why he said to me, it will be collected from the rich ones among the people in that town. Then it will be returned back to the poor ones among them. It is for their own benefit. Okay? So it's not as if the Prophet is a greedy person, he wants to collect most money. No, this money is to be given to the poor ones among them. And like I said, it is Islam's way of alleviating poverty among people. And it is Islam's way of ensuring social security. Okay? Because one of the reasons why there's crime in the society is poverty. But if everybody has, nobody will go and steal again. Get it? And so this money is to be collected for the rich ones, and it is to be given to the poor ones among the people. This hadith shows that the zakat, when you are giving out zakat, you can give it out to one category among the eight categories of people to be given zakat. Ordinarily in Islam, there are eight categories of people to be given zakat. As Allah says in Surah Tawbah, okay? إِنَّمَا الصَّدَقَاتِ لِلْفُقَرَى وَالْمَسَاكِينِ وَالْعَامِلِينَ عَلَيْهَا وَالْمُعَلَّفَةِ قُلُوبُ وَفِي الرِّكَابِ وَالْغَارِمِينَ وَفِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ وَابْنِ السَّبِيلِ. Eight categories of people. Allah says the zakat is given to the fuqara, the poor, wal-masakin, the needy, wal-amilina alayha, and those working to collect the zakat, those that the imam sent out to go and collect zakat, they are also in debt, they can give it. Okay? He said, wal-muhallafati qulubuhum, and those that their heart, the non-Muslims, that their heart are inclined towards Islam, we can give them zakat to further encourage them to accept Islam. He said, wafi rekab, zakat can also be used to free Muslim captives. If there are Muslim captives in the Muslim prisoners in the hands of unbelievers, we can use the zakat to free them, to buy their freedom. That is what we recall. In other words, Walghari means, okay, it can also be given to those who are indebted. Anybody who is highly indebted and has no money, no way of settling his debt, he can go to the state treasury, he's also entitled to zakat, to assist him to pay off his debt. Okay? In other words, those that are going out for jihad, that they can be given zakat as their provision. And finally, the working is Sabil, the traveler. Somebody who is traveling and something happens to him on the way, his money cannot take him to his destination again. He has no means of reaching his destination. We can give him from the zakat to help him reach the destination. Now, these are the eight categories of people that are entitled to zakat. But so it is permissible if you are giving out zakat to share it among these eight categories of people. For example, you look for a poor person to give to him. You look for somebody to give to him. You look for somebody who has exactly plan to give to him. If you like, you can give it to just one person, one category among this category, that's the poor. Because the Prophet said, two have been adding here in him for Torah to be for Qara'i. He did not mention the remaining seven categories. Okay? So it's permissible to give zakat to just one category among the eight categories. Then the Prophet said, if these people agree to do this, then you that you are going to collect their wealth, the imam or his representative that he intended to take zakat of people, he said, I warn you against taking the most precious of their wealth. I warn you against taking the most precious of their wealth. What does this mean? At times, when you are collecting zakat from a person's wealth, for example, if somebody is rearing cows, there is zakat on cows. If the number of cows reach 30. Okay, if it's less than 30, there's no zakat on it. But if it's up to 30 and above, then there is zakat on it after 1 year. Now, supposing a person has, let's say, 28 female cows, okay, and has 2 male cows, or 29 female cows, and 1 male cow, he's going to give up one of the cows as zakat. Okay? If you take the male cow from him
Have you not done injustice to it? You understand? How will the remaining ones multiply? That is the main child that you need to be able to get multiplication, isn't it? Now, so that's all that what I just talking about. Don't take the most precious in his world. Don't take something that will condemn the many parts of his world. Do we understand what they are talking about now? So that's what they are talking about. So when you are taking, when the imam or the representative is taking zakat from somebody's wealth, you must make sure that you don't take the most precious or the something that is actually the factor in the growth or development of the world. You get it? So that is what he means by be careful. Don't take the most precious of their wealth. In other words, what's taking that was a magnum. He's not telling me again. Remember that if you oppress anybody, don't because you are the leader, then you should beware of the prayers of the oppressed. فَإِنَّهُ لَيْسَ بَيْنَهَا وَبَيْنَ اللَّهِ حِجَابٌ. Because there is no any barrier between his wealth, between his supplication and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If somebody is oppressed and is supplicating, he says, oh Allah, those that are oppressing me, oh Allah, take my revenge upon them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will accept his supplication. Even if it is not immediate, even if after some time, alright, Allah will definitely revenge upon them. So one should be aware of the supplication of the oppressed. Do not oppress anybody in any way. Okay? Now that Hadith Allah said that whoever oppresses will be in darkness in the church. So oppressed. Islam is totally agreeing oppression of any kind, either from the leader or from other members of the society. So these are some of the rulings contained in this Hadith. Now. The next hadith says, "An Abi Sa'id al-Khudri, narrated from Abu Sa'id al-Khudri, radiyallahu anhu, nala bin qala," he said, "qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam," and the Messenger of Allah, peace be upon him, said, "Laysa fima duna khamsi awakin sadaqatun," that there is no zakat in less than 200 silver money, dirham. You see, the word awakin, okay, is the plural of ukiya. I want you to say ukiya in Arabic. And during the time of the Prophet, it means 40 dirham. Dirham is silver money. During the time of the Prophet, there was silver money, there was gold money. Okay, gold money is called dinar. Silver money is called dirham. Now, 40 dirham. It's called ukiya. Then when the Prophet said there is no zakat in less than 5 ukiya, it means 40 dirham. That will be 200 dirham. Meaning that is the nifa, that your money in silver must reach before zakat will be obligatory on it. Okay, that is the nifa. So if you have less than 200 dirham, then there's no zakat in your money. If you have more than 200 dirham, as from 200 above, then there is zakat on your money. That means of khamsi uwaqin. Then he now says, wala fi ma duna khamsi zawdin sadaqa. Likewise, there is no zakat in camel. If your camel is less than 5, okay? Before zakat is obligatory on somebody that is wearing camel, then his camel must be up to 5 and above. If he has less than 5, then there is no zakat on it. Just like I said a while ago, if you are rearing cows, there is zakat. But the mitzvah is how many? 30 cows. Then if you are rearing sheep, the mitzvah for sheep is 40 sheep. Okay, so like that. So here, in this hadith, Paul mentioned cows. So the mitzvah for cows, for camels, is 5 camels. He now said, وَلَا فِي مَا دُونَ خَمْسِ أَوْسُكِنْ صَدَقَ. Likewise, there is no zakat in farm produce, okay? If your farm produce is less than 5 awsuk, the word awsuk is the plural of the word wisk. I want to say wisk in Arabic language, it means 60 fa'a. You know fa'a, what? One fa'a is 4 mudunabi. You know our mudunabi that we use in measuring zakat. 4 of it is 1 fa'a. So 60 fa'a equals to 1 week, and the Prophet said 5 weeks. That would mean how many now? That would be 60 times 5. That would be 300 far of grain. If you have to calculate it in Mudunabi, it will be, that will be 300 times 4, because 4 Mudunabi is 1 far. So 300 far will be 300 times 4, that will give you 1,200 Mudunabi of grain. So if you cultivate rice, for example, all right, and you harvest, the total number of the rice will be up to 1,200 Mudunabi before there will be zakat. So here the Prophet mentioned three categories of wealth. First is money, silver money. We said it in itself is what is 200 dirham. He did not mention the nisab for gold here, but the other hadith, he mentioned the nisab for gold is 20 dinars. Okay, if you have 20 dinars, you give zakat. Now, what is the zakat? This is the nisab, the amount of money must reach before zakat is obligated. Then, how much will you give up? In other hadith, the Prophet explained that it is what? It is one fourth of the money. You see, in Nigerian currency now, we calculate the nisab using gold. Okay, we don't use silver again because the price of silver has dropped drastically. Silver has no value in the world market again. So we calculate using gold. The current nisab in Naira, for example, is 1,998,080 Naira. Do you understand? This is the money that you must have before zakat will be obligatory on your money. This zakat only becomes obligatory after some conditions are fulfilled. One is that what? Is that your money must be up to the nisab, which is currently in Naira. It changes depending on the value of gold. But currently it's 1,998,000. Your money must be up to this amount. Then secondly, it must be up to this amount for one whole year. It must not be less than that for one whole year. Do you understand? So if your money reaches this amount, let's say you have 2 million today. So this 2 million now, zakat has become obligatory upon you. You start counting, your money has reached the far. Now if from today for 26 months, we say 14th Dhulqa'dah, let's use the Islamic calendar, 14th Dhulqa'dah. If from now till next year, 14th Dhulqa'dah, this 2 million did not go less than 2 million. Instead, it was increasing. Let's say you have and you ended up having 5 million, 6 million. Then by next year, by 14th of next year, Dhulqa'dah, then zakat has become obligatory on this money. So you will now give out what? 1/4 of it. Do you understand? Sorry, not 1/4, 1/40. I said not 1/4, sorry, I'll say 1/4. It's 1/40. All right, you give 1/40 of it. So you divide the money over 40 and you give out one of it as the zakat. Do you understand? So that's the zakat for money. Okay, you divide over 40 and you give one. That's the zakat. Now, if it is camel, as the Prophet indicated in the hadith, then you must have up to 5 camels. 5 camels. For those that are rearing camels, their camel must go to 5. And it must have passed, it must be up to like that for 1 year. Okay? Now if you have 5 camels, then you give out zakat. The zakat of 5 camels is not 1 camel, it is 1 bull. Okay? If your wealth is in camel and you have 5, after 1 year, then you give out 1 bull as your zakat. Bull. 1 bull. Not camel, 1 bull. That's zakat. If your camel is up to 10, you give out what? You give out 2 gold. If your camel is up to 15, you give out 3 gold. If your camel is up to 20, you give out 4 gold. If your camel is up to 25, not 5 gold. That is when you now start giving out camel as zakat. Do you understand it now? So if you have, there will be time for question. Okay, just try to understand a little bit. So, if your money is a camel, from 1 to 24, okay, at every 5, it's 1 gold. But as from 25 upward now, that is when you start giving out camels and zakat. Do you understand the calculation now? That's how it is for camels. Then, as for grain, okay, as for the grain, we said the nisab it was in 1,200 Muslims. Okay? If it's right, that would be roughly how many bars now? Let's say 10 bars or 11 bars or so, roughly. Okay? This is a rough estimate. But the actual estimate is 1,200 Muslims. Now, as for grain, you don't wait for 1 year before giving out zakat. Like I said, in money or animals. Okay, if your money is reserved, you wait for 1 year again. If it does not less, it doesn't go less than that, then you give out zakat. But as for some for you, Allah says, wa atu haqqahu yawma haqqahu. Okay, you have to give out the right, the zakat, on the day of harvest. Okay, so the day you finish harvesting, alright, and you measure and it's up to this nisab, then you must give out zakat. And the zakat to be given out is 1/10. Okay, you divide it over 10 and give out 1/10 as your zakat. This is in situations where you did not suffer extra effort to water the farm through, let's say, irrigation. For example, let's say there was abundant rainfall. Okay, or you are familiarized by the bank of the river and water is flowing to it. So you didn't make any suffer any extra effort or it didn't incur extra expenses to water the farm. So here, when you harvest, you divide it by 10, it is up to the river. But if you incur extra expenses and suffer an effort to water the farm before the farm produces water, all right. Then the zakat you give out is 1 over 20. So you divide it by 20 and give out 1. Do we understand now? That is how to give out zakat. So if you look at the nisab and the quantity to give out, you will see that it is completely minimal and insignificant. Do you understand? If you have money and your money is up to 2 million, you say you give out what? 1 over 40. That will be how much? Huh? Who calculate? If you calculate, let's say, if you have 2 million and you divide it by 40, that's 50,000 naira. 50,000 naira. 50,000. So is that too much to give out as sadaqa? You have 2 million naira. Islam says, don't give 50,000 naira to the poor people. Is that too much to give? It's not. It's insignificant. Yes, you have rich people that have this money, but they agree. They don't want to give out zakat. There are so many rich people, if you ask them, do you give out zakat in your world, they don't know. They'll say no. Somebody, a rich woman, once called me one time, some years ago. She's a very rich woman. She's doing business. She travels to different countries to import product. So one day she went to attend briefing, and that was when she had the scholar explaining how to give zakat. So scholar said she should divide her wealth by 4% of zakat. Now say, hey, how would that be going to be? So she called me because she don't remember. So she now called me. She wants more information. I said, yes, but that's how you give out zakat. And now ask her. All these years, how have you been doing zakat? He said every year she just cook rice and take it to the mosque and get the business. Then you can imagine. So every year she just select like 2, 3, 4, 5 more, prepare rice, and the boy shared the work of zakat. Of all the millions that she had. So that's why we need to enlighten our rich ones. Let them know that this is a right on them. Whoever does not give zakat on the day of judgment is going to be in serious trouble. Allah will use your words to torment you on the day of judgment. So it's a severe punishment upon people. You get it. So let us, there is need for people to learn the rules and regulations of zakat and give it out as prescribed by Islam. Likewise, for farm produce. Right, you found like say 20 bucks. France says divide it by 10. And if you suffer extra effort in watering, divide it by 20 and give 1 over 20 as zakat. It's not much. Okay? So it is very, very important. If Muslims are giving out zakat the way they should, there will be no poverty among Muslims. Okay? So we really need to do this. Now. So. Can we take another hadith? Okay. The next hadith is the hadith of Abu Hurairah. أبو هريرة رضي الله عنه أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قال أبو هريرة نريد أن أتكلم في الله سيد ليس على المسلم في عبده ولا فرسه صدقته. Okay. He was said that there is no zakat upon a Muslim in his servant, عبده, in his servant, ولا فرسه or his horse. Okay. So in the olden days that there was slaves, after his slaves. Okay? If you have a slave, you know slave is part and parcel of your wealth. You own a slave just the same way that you own a handset or your own bag. Slave was a commodity. Now it's possible that the slave, his value in the market may be high. That if you quantify his value, it may be up to the default. Okay? But you are not using this slave for any business purpose. It's just your servant at home, he's serving you. Now, in that case, Paul said that if that is the case, then there is no zakat on such a wealth. You understand? Because if Islam says you have zakat on your slave that you are not using for a common purpose, then you are going to be suffering loss. You get it? So, Paul said that if you have a slave that is for your domestic use, even if the worth of the slave in the market is up to the top, then there is no zakat on it. Secondly, your horse. If you have an expensive horse that you are using personally, then there's no zakat on it. What this hadith is telling us is that zakat is only on wealth that are used for economic purposes, wealth that is growing. Okay? Not wealth that is used for personal purposes. Okay? So if you have a car, as I have now, I'm a former, I don't have up to 2 million now. But supposing somebody just made a car that's worth 5 million, and I'm using it as my personal car, I drive it to the places I'm going to bring, I drive it to my work, like that. Will I use zakat on that car? No. Alright, because it is not for economic purpose. Alright, it's my personal purpose that I'm using. Even though the world is also in the market. So that means if somebody has a personal product that is using, you have a personal house, we value the house, it may be up to millions, 10 million, 15 million. But it's your personal house, you are staying in it. Because it's your personal house, then there will be no zakat on it. Do you understand? He said, of the love ring, in other weddings of this hadith, he said, Illa zakat al-fitr. First, the word is, except zakat al-fitr, fiyan waqif. Except zakat al-fitr on your slave. So, if you have a slave that you are using for personal or domestic services, when it's time for zakat al-fitr, you still give zakat al-fitr on behalf of that slave. Okay? Zakat al-fitr is obligatory upon a person and all those that are under him. His wife, his children, and even his domestic needs. So zakat al-fitr is an exception. But for the normal zakat, okay, you don't give zakat on your wealth that is being used for personal purpose. Do we understand? This hadith and other similar hadith are the hadith or the evidence that those scholars who have the opinion that women may also not give zakat for their gold chain that they are using. You get it? Because they are using it for personal purpose. Even if the worth of that gold is up to the nisab. You understand? Because the nisab of raw gold, not currency gold, raw gold is 5 grams. You get it? So if a woman's gold put together is up to 85 grams, then there is zakat on it. But scholars are divided on this matter. There are scholars of the opinion that the gold chain, a ring, bangle, okay, what do you call a ring that women are using, gold, as comment, cannot comment to this gold. So the gold ornaments that women are using, there's no zakat on them. Okay? Why? Because they are their personal ornaments, they are using just to defy themselves. What is the headline? It's this type of thing. You understand? But other scholars, there are other scholars of the opinion that even if a woman has this kind of ornament for personal use, there should still be zakat on it. Why? Because of some other ahadith where the Prophet saw a woman, okay, a woman with her daughter, and she had some bamboo in the hands of her daughter, which was heavy and it was up to the deserve. The Prophet asked the woman, do you give zakat for this bamboo? She said no. The Prophet said that it is going to be your portion in hellfire. And the woman quickly removed it from her daughter's hand and threw it away. So this means that even though the woman was using it for this particular portion of the Prophet was the same as carrying zakat in it. And other similar hadith like that indicate that there can be zakat on keeping the personal ornament of women. So ala kulli hal, it's a matter of difference between among scholars. Okay? What I advise women is if their goals are up to the nisab, to be on a safer side, it's better for them to give out zakat on it. If the woman can have the goal that up to this nisab, then she won't give it. So it's better for her to calculate it, you know, and give out the zakat on it, in order to give on the safer side. The next hadith is the hadith of Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu again. Anna Rasulullah SAW qala, Prophet, al-ajma'u kibaru. Al-ajma'u kibaru. Al-ajma'u means animal. Okay? Animal. Domestic animal. Cows, camels, sheep, and that. What the Prophet is saying is that this type of animal, whatever damage they cause to people, okay, that was not the fault of their owner, then there will be no ransom for it. Do you understand? There will be no ransom for it. وَالْمَعْدِنُ إِذَتْ وَالْبِئْرُ جُبَاءُ. Likewise, if somebody is working for you in your well, and this is well, if you go and hire somebody to come and dig well for you, and in the process of digging the well, an accident happens to him there, because then you will not be able to pay his wages. Because when you pay him his money for the work, he can go and treat himself. When he cannot charge you additionally because of the accident that occurred to him, he cannot say because it is your well that I'm digging and it happens to me, then you have to pay ransom. No. Because in Islam, so long as it's his job and he's working in that well and something happens to him, then he would be responsible, not the owner of the well. But if the owner of the well wish to ask his fine, but that he has no right on the owner of the well. Then he said, well, fill the car. He said, well, ma'adino, tuba. Likewise, those that are working in mine, those that are mining, either mining gold or mining any mineral resources, okay? If any accident occurs in it, then there will be no ransom for it. Then the working record and books. In a record is treasures that are found buried in the earth. Treasures of the Mufa, of the people of Jahiliyyah. So if perchance you come across a treasure in the ground, okay, then you have to give one piece of it as sadaqah. That's going to be the working record and books. Okay, when you pick it, okay, when you pick it, since you are not picking for you, okay, but Islam says, give one tip of it as sadaqah. So that is what this hadith is talking about. The first one is al-ajma. Okay, damages caused by animals. Like I said, this is talking about damages caused by animals without the fault of anybody. Okay, without the fault of anybody. For example, you tie your camel. Somebody tied a camel or a cow with a long road in one place. That means definitely the camel or we will be roaming about at times. If in the process of roaming about, a small child was playing around that side and the camel or the cow hit the child, do you understand? Can the father of the child come to claim rights from the owner of the camel or cow? Now? Besides getting the cow by what? Because the owner of the cow has taken adequate steps to protect it from what damage. He has tied it in one place. Do you understand? So this type of accident that happens without the fault of the owner is Juba. Alright? Juba meaning it's free. That means there's no ransom for it. But if the way headmen will lead their cows to enter the bush farm to cause destruction, this one that he talked about, they have to obey if they are arrested. Do you understand? Because it is their fault. They have to make sure that they guard their camels from entering the bush farm to destroy it. So by saying that damage is caused by animal without the fault of anybody, okay, you cannot hold the owner responsible. Then, like I said, the way somebody invite you, I want to dig well for you, it's his job, it's inside. And in the process, he uses his eager to meet his leg. Or in the process, something happens to him. It is his responsibility. It's not your fault. Seriously. If you wish to assist him because of Islam or health, fine. But he has no right upon the wrong way. And that was some people that are working in mines, mining military resources. They also have no right or never hire them to mine. And that was, I say, a record. You must take note. Record, like I said, is the treasure of the people of the past. Treasure for the people of the past found in the ground. Scholars say that there must be evidence to show that it is treasure of the people of the past. Okay? And it must be found in a land that doesn't belong to anybody. Because if I have my land, you enter into my land, you dig ground, you find something there, you say it's illegal, it's my own. Islam will not agree with it. Do you understand? It belongs to the owner of the land. You get it? Land that doesn't belong to anybody on the path, for example, on the pathway. By chance, you are walking there, you find something that indicates that it's not belonging to people of this present generation, something of the past, and it is fine. Then you can take it, or you give one piece of it as other that. But if it's something that belongs to, that comes as not of the past, something of present generation, something that is likely to belong to somebody, then it does not take the ruling of treasure. It takes the ruling of fitting lost item, of which you have to announce and look for the owner and give it to the owner, inshallah. I thought we'll stop here. May Allah give us knowledge. And whatever we have said, may Allah reward us. Whatever we have done, may Allah forgive us. Of course, one of the long things, inshallah, is that you have to stop today. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. There are questions. Yes, you buy the goods. You buy goods and give it out. Sorry. Two questions. Okay. Now, what's the a child that was born, okay? For the child that was born alive, okay, and the child died, then it's a human being, okay? So it takes the ruling of a full human being. So we wash the child, we'll shroud the child, and we'll observe the last of the night of the child before we verify the child. Okay? As for your second question, okay, now, yes, you join everything together, okay? You join everything together, both your capital and your profit. If everything together is up to the nisab, that we said that 1,993,000, which is almost 2 million. If it's up to this nisab, then you share, and like I said, it has been there for 1 year, 1 whole year. They spend like 14 and give one to another. You don't sell it. Alright? You don't sell it. Okay? You give us, you quantify the word. You get it. You quantify the word, then you divide to 40 and give 40. Because, like I said, in you go to the telephone, because you will quantify it and know the gram and what is worth in the market now. You go that way. Just sitting with the book. A woman called me on this same matter. Because she has gold. Because her ring, bangles, chain, and things like that. I just asked him, how about I should go to give to that? Those people that are selling gold, let them wait. And when she went, they wait. Everything together is worth 4.5 million. You understand? So, is that 4.5 million? She will now divide by 40. Get this and give one from our own personal wealth money now. Someone has trained animals. Like I said, as far as the Sharia is concerned, okay, damages caused by animals without the fault of the owner, there's no ransom here. There's no ransom here. So, whoever is the victim, the person is supposed to be taken and take it as destiny. You know what I'm saying? And take it as destiny. If Allah has destined that a calamity befall you, either to that animal, or let it can be the father himself that examine his time, let that and decide to die again. So, the person is supposed to take it as a cataract, alright, as if it's a calamity from Allah's father and water. Not that you go ahead and see that it is ignorance that will make people to do such a thing.
Thank you.
Let him estimate his worth. What we have in the Quran is not the Safat, right? If you have a little bit of a school, all the number is Alhamdulillah. So say so is better. Now, any goat, it should not be less than 6 months. All right, the goat should not be less than 6 months. Should not be less than 6 months. So, never let you go. Never let you go. Salaam alaikum warahmatullahi wabarakatuh.